ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अन्तः बहिश्चखिल लोका पालकैरदृष्टा रूपो विचारस्यु उरु स्वनः सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा धर्मयम् नरः स्त्रियम् अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके अदृश्य रूपो विचरासुरु स्वना सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियाम् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियाम् अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके अदृश्य रूपो विचरासुरु स्वनः सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियाम् अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके अदृश्य रूपो विचरासुरु स्वना सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियाम्
Please chant.
अदृश्य रूपो विचरासुरु स्वना सा ईश्वरस्त्वं यामिदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियाम् अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके अदृश्य रूपो विचरासुरु स्वना सा ईश्वरस्त्वं या इदं वशे नयान् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयं नरास्त्रियम् अन्तर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालके Adrishya Rupo Vichara Surusmana Saishvara Stvam Yaidam Vashenayan Namna Yata Darumayam Narastriyam Antar Bahishcha Kila Loka Palakir Adrishya Rupo Vichara Surusvana Sa Ishvarastvam Yamidam Vashenayan Namna Yata Darumayam
Vaishnavis, Antaha, within, Balahi, without, Cha, also, Akila Lokapalakai, by the leaders of the different planets, societies, kingdoms, and so on, Adrishta Rupaha, not seen, Vicharasi, you wonder. Uru, very great. Svanaha, who sounds. Vedic mantras. Saha, he. Ishvaraha, the supreme controller. Twam, you. Yaha, who. Idam, this. Vase, under control. Anayat has brought. Namna by different names like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Yata exactly like. Darumayim made of wood. Naraha a man. Striyam a doll. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart, as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well. The so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarbahihi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world nato natyadharo yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita 1861, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshe juna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is the Supersoul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Darumayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. What to speak of women, all living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord. As Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, apareham itasvam anyaham prakritim vedi me param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord Narayan, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Eko ha vai Narayana asit. Foolish persons think Narayan to be on the platform of ordinary material existence. Because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity, they concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Mitya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization.
So thank you, Ekalaya, for reading for me. This, of course, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can keep it like this, I guess. It is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the Paramahansa Samhita. And there are two classes of devotees. In one class, they make themselves perfect, and then they go out and help others. And another class of devotees, whatever little they get, they share with others. I'm in the second class. So things don't get forgotten, I sit here and share remembrances of Prabhupada. Now one thing about the Bhagavatam, these are, of course, great personalities who are speaking. And it's very deep knowledge. And it's hard to appreciate it because we're in these bodies and the Maya is so strong we think we are these bodies. It's very strong. And Paramatma doesn't seem to say much. So how do I know God exists? It is only by the mercy of God that we understand that God exists, that Bhagavan exists. So his revelation of himself is quite confidential. Just like you have secrets in your heart and you don't reveal to everyone, so God does not reveal his heart to everyone. One must be qualified as having affectionate feelings. If one has affectionate feelings towards you, you reveal things to him. These are the signs of love. Is loving exchanges are, you exchange gifts with your beloved, you exchange foodstuffs with your beloved, and you exchange secrets with your beloved. So we do not give up all the secrets of our own heart to anybody and everyone. So why should Bhagavan give his heart, open his heart to those who don't really care about him? The nature of the material world is everyone is self-absorbed. So the Maha Mantra is, Lord, please, I've served so many illusions. Now please let me serve you. But the materialist, his mantra is, I, me, I, me. Right? You listen to someone speak, so many words come out, I, me, especially materialists. And the devotee is there enjoying talking about Krishna. Why? Because they've heard the pastimes of Krishna. These are very formal pastimes, formal prayers. These are the great souls that inhabit the universe at the very beginning of creation. Manu writes the first law book, and it's very severe in expression. As we go through the ages, there's a densification that takes place. In the Satyayuga, we are very subtle. And we can see that we are basically spirit souls stuck in a material body. The veil is very, very thin. And as time goes by, we identify more and more with our material senses and our material mind and our material intelligence, and they become programmed more and more to satisfy the urges of the material body. So as the ages go by, we make more demands on the material energy. In the first age, mostly people meditated for long periods. They drew very little from the material energy. They desired to become liberated as quickly as possible. But by the power of the material energy, we become more attached. And sex desire develops over time. There's more of a demand on nature. So in the initial ages, everything we need in Satyayuga is provided by the trees, by nature. As the ages develop, then we start developing organized agriculture because we're developing more desire for the body. As we develop more desire for the body, sex desire develops. More living entities enter the earth. More agriculture has to be developed. And the concept of God becomes more of an intellectual concept. We read the Shastras and we go, yes, this sounds very intelligent. This sounds very right. But I still feel like I need this and I need that. And the concept of the fades from the Satyayuga into the next yuga. And in order to refresh ourselves, in that age they perform great sacrifices. And the power of those sacrifices brought down the devas and occasionally brought down Bhagavan. But more effort was involved. In Satyayuga, less effort was involved. In the Treta Yuga, more effort was involved. Great sacrifices. Even Ramchandra performed great sacrifices. In the next age, temple worship became more prevalent. And at the end of that age, Krishna kindly appeared and revealed his pastimes. And in this age, we're in Kali Yuga, the densification is very thick. Even though we read the philosophy, still we feel like I am this body. And the age of Kali enforces the idea that I am in this body. You go out on the streets, this is not old Maharashtra. This is not the Maharashtra centered around Pandharpur. This is Maharashtra in Kali Yuga. And there are agents agitating everyone to become more involved in the sense gratification. Buy this and you will be happy. Buy that and you will be happy. Get the car. Get the jewelry. Get the food, the more opulent food. Get the deodorant so people will like you more. Get the perfume. Get this, get that. This will satisfy you. And these things don't satisfy you necessarily. If we observe what is karma, we see it starts every morning when we wake up. We may feel good. 2 hours later, we may feel unhappy. 3 hours later, we may feel good again. So these cycles of karma are working through on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a basis of minutes. Sometimes the karma is severe. Sometimes it is very pleasurable to the senses, but is always temporary. The only constant in the world is change. And the thing that burns hotter in the world than anything else is attachment, because everything changes. So vairagya develops over the course of a life. But we have no guarantee that we will live to 90 or 100 years. If we do, natural vairagya will develop. Parents die. Sometimes children die prematurely. Sometimes the spouse dies. So gradually, without our effort, the world renounces us. All those things that we love, they go away. And finally, this goes away. So the material world is painful. You don't feel it so much in youth, but you do actually in some ways. Chanaka Pandit said youth is the most painful part of life because we have great expectations. And we think, oh, we will find our little Radha, and she's thinking, oh, I will find my little Krishna in the world. And then we come together. And then there is difficulties. There's the hard struggle to maintain a family. Prabhupada said it's easier to maintain a kingdom in Kali Yuga than a family. Much competition. India's population has grown. I think it was about 200 million in 1800. Now what do you have, 1.4 billion? Much more competition in Kali Yuga. It is harder to own land in Kali Yuga. So many difficulties. But the good part, there was a book written about the French Revolution. In the beginning, the first verse, the first two sentences was, or the first sentence was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. So Kali Yuga is the worst of times, yet is the best of times. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age, and he gave the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name, but he gave a very important instruction to Ramananda Roy. The importance of hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the gopis, Brijbasis, because all the religions say love God. But love is something that is not, cannot be demanded. Love is inspired. So, in your culture, this beautiful culture, there's so much revelation of who God is, who Goddess is. And by that revelation, one develops attraction. We like beautiful things. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We are little enjoyers. But we are trying to enjoy just like you have appetite. And you go and somebody gives you one little grain of food. Maybe a little piece of sugar. It tastes very good. But we want more. So when we try to enjoy each other, we are part and parcels of Krishna. We are all beautiful. But none of us are enough for another. The husband is thinking, I work very hard for my family. I hope they love me. I'm often doing work that I don't enjoy just to bring in the money to maintain my family. And the wife is thinking, oh, I wish I had more romance in my life, but my husband is so tired when he comes home. So this is the material energy, this difficulty. So we are hungering for something deeper. We are hungering for a deep friend. We are hungering for a deep lover. We are hungering for a child that really appreciates our love. And no one seems to be able to do it for us in the material world. Children grow up and they go to the other side of the world. So difficult is Kali Yuga. So Krishna, He is our best friend. He is traveling with us in the heart as Paramatma, although we don't seem to realize it. The yogis, they struggled so hard to reach the Lord in the heart. And we know the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And when he reached the Lord in the heart, he became satisfied, and then the Lord finally appeared before him. And the classic line of Dhruva Maharaj was, because Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom bigger than his father insulted him. So, but when he saw Bhagavan, when he saw Vishnu outside the heart, his beautiful line was, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, instead I found the rarest of gems. So how does one realize Bhagavan? Well, Prabhupada once said, do not be so eager to see God, but make yourself so beautiful that God becomes eager to see you. So, this is the great secret, that Krishna is watching you all the time, from within and from without. He knows everything you're thinking. His concern, His love is there for everyone, even the asuras. He loves everyone. In the spiritual world, these are the highest devotees who have the highest loving sensibilities. Like Nanda Maharaj and the Brijvasis. When Krishna came under attack, so it was not Nanda Maharaj who wanted to move. He liked go cool. Plenty of water there, plenty of grass for the cows. The other Brijvasis came. They said, there's some danger here. We have to do something. We have to move. Protect Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj said, yes. So this is the Brijvasis spirit, that they're caring for each other. And they have a very high level of love. Here we have a high level of self-love. So this is a big problem. We become jealous of each other, angry at each other. So Krishna does not want living entities who have those qualities to go and associate with the Brijvasis or the Vaikunthavasis. They will cause disturbance. So when we give up these bad qualities, there's a Spanish expression, I'll translate it in English. First it is, mi casa su casa. So when one becomes dear to another person, he says, my house is your house. So Krishna wants to say, my house is your house to all of us. But we have to give up these bad qualities because he doesn't want us to disturb the Brijvasi or the Vaikunthavasis with this false ego conception. That I am the supreme enjoyer, that everything is there for me to enjoy. This is disturbing. In the spiritual world, they naturally serve each other. This is the concept of the Prabhu. Everyone is master, let me make you happy, and then you want to make me happy, and we all want to make Krishna happy, and Krishna wants to make everybody happy. So, how we treat each other is being observed by Krishna at every moment. And when we act like a Brijvasi in this world or a Vaikunthavasi in this world, Krishna becomes impressed. So how do we act that we see? I'll give you something. I went to Pandharpur and I went to touch the feet of the deity. I thought something would happen. Nothing happened. So I went to see Rukmini Devi and to see Lakshmi Devi, Radharani rather. And then I came out and I was circling the Garuda Stamba. Most of you have been to Pandharpur, right? Yes, you've been to Pandharpur? So when I was just about to leave, something made me close my eyes and I heard this beautiful voice that said, chant, be happy, and love everyone as I do. So I would not say, and love everyone as I do to myself. So I knew it was Vital who had said that. But I take no pride in it. Because if he said it, that means I'm not doing it. So now I have to contemplate this concept of how does Vital love, how does God love everyone? Very deep concept. So he gives his love in such a way that is best for each devotee. So in Vaikuntha, he is the friend and he is making everyone happy. Nice gardens, you can fly around in flower airplanes. There's always feasting going on. He keeps a little bit of distance, but they all like him. They're very happy that he is there. Lakshmi and Narayan are like mother, father, God, but also like a good friend. So there, he serves them by being the host of the party. He makes sure all the guests are very happy, even though he is Bhagavan. And the devotees are very happy to be in his association because he is the life of all. He is the life of the party. He is the most interesting being. In Goloka, Krishna serves the devotees. Krishna takes Nanda Maharaj's shoes and puts them on his head and brings them to Nanda Maharaj. Krishna serves his friends. Yasoda is always worried that Krishna is not eating enough. So she invites his friends to eat with Krishna. When she turns his back, Krishna takes the nice food off his plate and puts it on his friend's plate. Of course, Mother Yasoda is agitated. She says the universal mother's prayer. She says, Krishna, you're killing me. Mothers always say that when their children are naughty. So Krishna is always making nice arrangements to make his devotees happy. He sits in the audience while the devotees perform kirtan in Goloka. He becomes the audience. He likes to see the devotees in the centers. He likes to see them happy. All right, enough about Krishna. One more little story. Well, all right. Now time about Prabhupada. I only have 25 minutes left. How many were there yesterday when I spoke? Some were here. Okay, we have one. All right, so good. I can tell the same stories again. Right. So the first time I saw Prabhupada was in Boston in 1971. I had been in the movement for 13 months. I had been reading Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad, Krishna book. Then I was going to meet my Guru Maharaj. I was from New York. I was a bit cynical about so many cheaters in so many ways. I had taken drugs. In drugs I had seen most people are very self-absorbed. It was disappointing and it was saddening to my heart. And then at one point I had an out-of-body experience and I was floating above my body. I saw myself as a spirit soul of some sort, and my body was finely engineered. Look at this, right? Look at these senses. These are incredible feats of engineering. A lot of the devotees, they were college graduates. They studied engineering. Do we have any engineers out there? Anybody study engineering? There you go. So is this an amazing piece of engineering? Huh? So when I was watching, I saw my body, and I saw there has to be a God. If something is engineered, there's an engineer behind it, right? I cannot take all the elements, right? Shake them up, and out from the glass comes a baby, right? No? So in that moment, I saw that. I saw I was spirit. I saw I was more than that body. I will live on beyond that body. And I also became frightened, and it was exciting. But I also became frightened because instinctively I felt there was some danger. And I thought I needed a teacher, and whoosh, I was back in the body. So on some level I know I'm not this body. I need to know more. Where am I going to find a teacher? I was going to try each religion for 6 months. I was brought up in Judaism, but the conception of God was very vague. But my grandmother was my first guru, and she used to talk to God, so God was a person. Then after this experience, I thought I'm going to try each religion for 6 months. The Catholic religion turned me off because they preached so much hatred against the Jews because they thought they killed Jesus. But the last pope just finally admitted it wasn't all the Jews that killed Jesus, it was just a few. And actually, it was the Romans that killed Jesus. And Prithu Prabhu said it was the Germans that killed Jesus. Because in the Roman army, they had German people. And there was some description, the Germans used to use vinegar for getting energy. And the description is that the person who killed Jesus used vinegar. So he assumed that it was a German, not even a Jew. Ironic. Huh? Anyway, so I finally meet Prabhupada, and he is coming off the plane, and I am wondering, is this really a genuine person? So when he posed for the pictures for the photographers, that was a telling moment, because in that moment, one reveals their ego, their false ego. Everyone says, don't photograph me. But at that moment when you're about to be photographed, how do most people act? Oh, right? So Prabhupada was posing like an ambassador from Goloka. He was representing Krishna. It was not about him or his body or his adoration, fame, or distinction. He came to deliver the message of Goloka. So that impressed me. It was hard to get close to Prabhupada when he first came. I took initiation. He gave me the name Bhargava. I immediately forgot what he said. Later on, I asked him in his room in London about Bhargava. And he said it was the name of Parasaram. I think initially it was a name of Bhrigu. But he changed it later on because I would ask him questions in London. And one of the questions I asked him, I said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fight with my God brothers. Is that bad? And he said, no, not necessarily. So I think from that, he decided to name me after Parasaram. Parasaram had great hatred for Kshatriyas who did not respect spiritual people. So he's from New York also. Justice comes quick in New York, right? If you act out of sorts, pow, you get a punch in the face. Very reactive, instant karma. So I was from New York, I had that rough side. In India, very gentle people. But I had that rough side, so Prabhupada gave me that name. Now, I would ask Prabhupada questions because I knew Prabhupada would not be on the planet forever. I said, Prabhupada, these may be help to you. Prabhupada, sometimes I have a problem and it's too detailed for the scriptures. I'm too loud. It's too loud, the speaking. So I have a problem. Sometimes it's too detailed for the scriptures. What should I do? And the spiritual master is not around, what should I do? He said, if you chant Hare Krishna very nicely, all the answers will come from within. So this is available to everyone. So what is the guiding force? The guiding force is the development of love for God and loving every living entity. So we have a conscience. In the Ramayana, Bali is picking on Lord Rama. He said, you shot me while I wasn't even looking. You're supposed to be the Lord of Dharma. I would have helped you get Sita, but instead you did this nasty deed. How can you consider yourself the Lord of Dharma? And Rama explained, you know, you're talking big words about Dharma, yet you took your husband, your brother's wife while he was still alive by force. You're a monkey. You're acting like a monkey. And then he says something very profound. He says, the intricacies of Dharma are not easily understood, and the ultimate discriminator must be one's own conscience. So the conscience is the form director of the super soul. So the question is, when I do something, is this really pleasing to Krishna, or am I using Shastra to exploit? There are two paths. There is the path of exploitation, that's materialism. There's the path of love, which is upliftment for myself and for others. Upliftment in the form of developing love in myself for God and for others, and upliftment for others in helping them develop love for God. The other path is exploitation. So the super soul is guiding through the conscience, and the conscience is saying, oh, this is exploitation or this is love. So that's the more subtle explanation of Paramatma. It is very difficult to see Paramatma because ultimately is the descent of grace that we make progress in spiritual life. When I was in New York, I worked for the press. I was a photographer. One lady came to do a story on the devotees. She was a writer and she had a nice Nikon camera. We had older equipment, donations. We were very poor in those days. So a Nikon camera was like a Mercedes-Benz to maybe a Tata. Okay? So she was enamored at first by one of the bhajan singers, Parikit Prabhu, did some of the paintings. Sung very beautifully. She likes Sankirtan. Anyway, she finally left for some reason. She wrote a little book. In the book, she said, they were more interested in my camera than in me. This one person. So they assumed it was me, but there were several photographers. So Jayadwaita came out and they started accusing me. I said, what? I mean, I wasn't lusting over the camera. It would have been nice to have, but I didn't remember lusting, but I thought maybe I did. So I was with Prabhupada in London. We were in the car coming back from the park. So I said, Prabhupada, sometimes I preach nicely and sometimes I don't. Because I was thinking of this lady, maybe I did offend her. And I said, Prabhupada, when I don't preach nicely, if the person's sincere, will they still come to Krishna? Because I thought maybe I offended her and maybe that was the reason she left. So I said to Prabhupada, if the person is sincere, will they still come to Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. And I guess, Krishna knows who's sincere and who's not. And when the fruit is ripe, he will pick it. So then he explained, he went on, and he said, just like there's a pool of water. And when the water becomes agitated, the sand comes up and clouds it. So in this way, when the senses become agitated, the intelligence becomes covered. So this is why we make mistakes. So I thought, okay, this is Shastric answer. He satisfied something that I should have known anyway, and maybe knew within my heart. But I had to ask him. And then he went on. Why he went on, I was confused. You answered my question, I thought. So he said there's two kinds of sadhana. Perfection. Siddhi, I'm sorry. Two kinds of siddhi. Oh, the tick, 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 tick. That's time. Time is a big gunda. It is picking your pockets. It is taking your life every moment. Every clang. Your life is becoming shorter. Anyway. Now we don't think it's so loud when you get my age. We're getting older, right? tick, 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 louder. The watch is ticking louder. Anyway, so to go on with the story, so Prabhupada said there's two kinds of cities. He said there's Sadhan City and there's Kripa City. So he said Sadhan City, one follows the rules and regulations of devotional service with the aim of pleasing Krishna. And by the mercy of Krishna, one may become perfect. He said sometimes someone is not able to follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service, but he has an overwhelming desire to perform some great service for Krishna. So by the mercy of Krishna, he may also become perfect. And he gave the example of Clive of India. Some of you who have had some education in Indian history, you have heard of Lord Clive. And Prabhupada explained, Clive came to India as a ship's cabin boy with the British East India Company. And you know he was very famous for bringing parts of India under the control of the British East India Company. And eventually it came under the control of the British Empire. So his exploits were there in diplomacy, in business, and in fighting. And they have some of his letters in Fort St. George, if you go to Chennai, that it has been turned into a museum. So why Prabhupada is telling me this part, I don't understand fully. But okay, it was interesting. I was a student of history and I like to hear these things. Eventually I went to Fort St. George, and they have some of his letters. Clive's letters. And he just thought the king of Mysore had been his kingdom had been taken over by, what is it, Tipu Sultan or his son? I forget which one's which. And he wanted the sepoys that were protecting the trading post in Chennai, he wanted to hire them to get his kingdom back. And Clive wrote to the British East India Company in London. He said, this looks like a good business deal. They want to pay us a lot of money for our soldiers. And the soldiers eventually fought. They reinstated the Mysore family, defeating Tipu Sultan. Was it Tipu Sultan who was defeated or his son? It was interesting how Tipu Sultan was defeated. My godbrother told me he used to talk to the deity. Even though he was Muslim, he would talk to the deity, and the deity said, don't fight the British. But he said, the British, they are, what do the Muslims call a non-believer? Kafir. He said, but the British are kafirs. But he's talking to the Vishnu deity. So he was some sort of devotee. And the deity said, don't fight with them. But he fought anyway. And what got him killed is he put a big jewel on his turban. And some common soldier is looking. He didn't care about killing the leader. He saw that jewel and he thought, ah, boom! And he killed Tipu Sultan to get the jewel. That was the end of the Muslim rule there. They found that out in Vietnam also. They stopped wearing the insignias for officer because the enemy would shoot the officer first. So Kali Yuga changed military tactics. There was no more the honorable meeting of the leaders in personal combat. Now it becomes guerrilla fighting. Anyway, what does this mean, this revelation? So in time I found I could not live in the temples. And I could not always follow the four regular principles. So I never ate meat after that. Fish like that. And I weren't into gambling. But the other two were available to me. I was very brokenhearted after Prabhupada's disappearance. Much politics appeared. I went through my sadasati. Many difficulties came upon me, so I left. And but I was missing devotional service. Prabhupada has given the noble life. That you can look at yourselves and you can feel proud that I'm doing something to help my fellow man, to help the planet. This is a noble life. And Prabhupada gave a noble life. He gave me a noble life. I was working for Back to Godhead. I was getting photographs for the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I enjoyed the noble life in many ways, but I didn't feel I could support the politics that happened after Prabhupada's disappearance. And many of my God brothers and God sisters felt the same way. And they were not taking good care of my God brothers and God sisters, the new leaders. And so they left. They didn't leave Krishna, most of them. They went through anger periods. And so did I. But I hungered for the noble life again. So I began my writings. And then I began doing videography in India. Prabhupada said he wanted a film showing the Indian people doing the nine processes of bhakti. And over a 10-year period, I visited many holy places and did a lot of videography. And this is where that instruction came in. The sadhana bhakti, sadhana siddhi and kripa siddhi. So it seemed like sadhana siddhi was not going to work for me. I was back in the West. I wasn't under the shelter of devotees anymore. So I thought, maybe kripa siddhi. Maybe that's why Prabhupada said that to me. So I thought, if I do this film and be able to show it on television, then maybe I would get the mercy of Krishna. And if not, people would benefit, and maybe I would have to take a few more lives, births, to develop my perfection. But at least I was doing some noble service. I missed that. And there was some hope. Now, if you go to the Balaji tradition, there was one prince who came and he made a garland made of golden lotuses. And the deity was placed on the deity. And the chain broke. And the lotuses were all over the ground. He had the chain repaired. It was placed on the deity again. Whoop! Broke again. The golden lotuses were fell to the ground. When they opened up the doors, the golden lotuses were on the ground. And there were mud flowers scattered everywhere on the altar. So there's two versions. One version, the Lord spoke through the pujari. And he said, I like your golden lotuses. I like your golden lotuses, but I like the mud flowers of our potter better. So the prince was wondering, what is going on? Who is this potter? What is the story behind these mud flowers? So he sent out his men to find this potter. You know, they take a big pot of clay, a big bunch of clay, and they make pots all day long. Simple. So his spies found the potter. He came. He watched from a distance. And this is what then the spies reported this, and he saw for himself. So at the beginning of the day, this potter would take some of the clay and he would make a little deity of Balaji out of clay. He would put it aside while he was working. He would make pots all day long. At the end of the day, he would scrape the clay from his hands and he would make little lotus flowers and he would offer it to the clay deity. And this he would do every day. Then the prince understood. This man is doing his sadhana bhakti. Every day he is doing this without fail. This is sadhana bhakti. And the prince then understood, oh, I am doing this great, what's the word? I'm making this big show. Once in a while I'm coming with big opulent show. But the deity is appreciating this steady service every day. He's appreciating more, so he's accepting those flowers more. So one version says that at that time, a flower airplane came from Vaikuntha with Lakshmi and Narayan in it. And the potter and his wife came to Lakshmi Narayan, and Lakshmi Narayan gave them Vaikuntha bodies. The prince is watching this. And then Vishnu said to the prince, he said, you are very proud of your opulence. But these don't, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But these do not impress me. So give up this big false ego of being a king and try to serve me in honest, sincere ways. And at the end of this life, you will return to me. And then he returned with Lakshmi, the potter and his wife, and they flew off to Vaikuntha. And the king took it very seriously, and he dropped his false ego and became a humble devotee. And at the end of that life, he returned to God, back to Godhead. Now, I hope this is the correct story. There's two stories. Was it the correct story? Or there's some difference? You had some look on your face. Did you know the story before? Okay. So, sometimes there are differences, but the idea is the same. That was the expression of sadhana bhakti. Simple expression. No gold. No gold plates to deliver the prasadam. No opulent food, mud flowers, steady, with devotion. So, for me, that was Krishna saying, Prabhupada saying, I know you will not be able to follow sadhana bhakti, maybe for the rest of your life, or maybe for part of your life. But here is something, here is some hope. So he gave me hope, Prabhupada gave me hope by telling me about Kripa City. So I took advantage of it. So I don't want to sit here and then make some big show that I am something that I am not. I tell you who I am, and I share what I can with you. Like I say, we share what we can with each other. Some of you come from very pious families. You're in your family line. You had great grandmothers and great grandfathers, good parents, and maybe some miracles happen. I've heard devotees tell stories that my grandmother, she knew the day she was going to die, and she told us. And she went and she began chanting, and that day she died. So, you have your good fortune to be born in such families, and you can share those experiences in your preaching. So, none of us except Prabhupada is really perfect. Great souls like that are very rare. Someone like Ramanujacharya, Vallabhacharya, these are very great souls and their appearance is very rare. So mostly we are that class that we share with others. And we try to inspire love, and the chanting of the holy name, the nine processes of bhakti, and mostly for ourselves and for others to hear Hari Katha. We must learn to love Krishna because Krishna is what Prabhupada called the supreme nice. He is, the second class is about fearing God. First class is about loving God. Your culture, you have enough information to truly love God. Why? Because Krishna is fun. We all want fun. We want to be happy. People are going to the movies because they want to be happy. They see other people happy on the screen. They think, oh, I could be like that. I want to be like that. And for a few moments, the Maya says, oh, I am that person. But that's not real. That's Maya. But we want that because that is the shadow. And the shadow exists because something exists. But the light is not shining on the shadow. When we give ourselves to Krishna, the light is shining on us. And then we say, oh, I am part of Krishna. I'm going to be with Krishna. Krishna is the life of the party. He is always making things interesting. If you are God, where is the fun? There is no surprise in life. Right? The Indian people, you have birthday parties too, right? You have a cake or something, you celebrate a birthday. So the best birthday parties are the surprise parties when you think, oh, nobody's remembered. Oh. And then they have a surprise, right? So Krishna, if you are God, there's no surprises. Yeah. But if you accept Krishna, He is making surprises for you. He is always trying to make His devotees happy. So, He is disappearing from the gopis, yet He comes back. He makes a surprise for them. He is always endeavoring to make His devotees happy. And He is a very expert jokester. He's a very expert musician. He's very expert in everything. So, this is what we were hungering for. There's an expression that a good party, where people come to enjoy, is only good if there is the life of the party there. Someone who makes the party exciting, who makes the party fun. So Krishna, He is the life of the party. And that's what we're hungering for. Even He appears in deity form. He's standing there, He's watching, He's listening. He is giving us joy just seeing Him in the morning. Everyone comes alive. Because we're under the influence of Maya, we think, oh, the doors are closed and Krishna is nowhere else. He's behind the doors. And when the doors open, we go, hey, Krishna! But of course, as we advance in devotion, we learn more and more. I'll take 5 more minutes. I'm over timing. But in Sri Rangam, some of you are South Indian devotees. You come from that area. So the story was that Lakshmi and Narayan, or actually it's Krishna. He's got 2 arms there. But some think of him as Narayan. But they go and they don't stay on the altar, but they walk around the temple. They are inspecting invisibly. They don't stay there. Rasa Bihari doesn't stay on that altar. He doesn't stand there like this all day, all night. He's coming around, he's inspecting. This is a very true story from the Sri Rangam tradition about a fallen devotee. But maybe you've heard of Vipra Narayan. He came to Sri Rangam to serve the deity. He was Brahmin. He made a beautiful garden for the deity to make garlands for the deity. One day a prostitute, very high class, very beautiful prostitute, and her sister saw the garden. Gets hot in South India. I know, I just came from there. Very hot. They thought, well, we'll go into the garden. We'll take shelter from the heat. It's a beautiful garden. They're sitting there. From a distance, they see Vipra Narayan. He's tending a tulsi plant. And this courtesan is very beautiful. When men see her, their tongues fall out. She was used to that reaction. But Vipra Narayan is taking care of the tulsi. And he doesn't react that way. So the sister says, well, you know, he's a devotee. He's not going to be affected by you. And her name was Devi Devu. She said, oh, yeah? Big false ego, because she was very beautiful. She said, I make a wager with you. I can make him fall down. If I can, you become my slave for 6 months. If I can't, I will become your slave for 6 months. She was so sure of her seductive abilities. She was very clever. She waited just before the rainy season. She put on, took off no makeup. She put on a thin old cloth, like the poor ladies do, beggar ladies. She went to Vipra Narayan's garden. She said, "Oh, great sir, I come from a very poor family. My mother wants me to become a prostitute. Please, I don't want to take up this nasty profession. Please, give me a place in your garden under a tree to sleep. And give me some meager service so I can have something to eat." So Vipra Narayan, he was very soft-hearted. He didn't realize what was going on. He said, "You can sleep under that tree. You can take some fruit. You can clean the garden." So she was very clever. She came just before the rains. He was living in his hut. She would sleep under the tree. When the rains came, she allowed herself to get good and wet. So a thin sari, everything shows through. She goes into Vipra Narayan's hut. She says, "Sir, it's raining outside. Can I please take shelter from the rain?" He felt sorry for her. He said, "Okay, you can sit in that corner. But sir, I'm so grateful to you. Please let me massage your feet." Thought, okay, she's an innocent lady. He let her massage his feet. The hands move up. He is not Haridas Thakur. He falls down into sex with her. He becomes mad for her. After he finds out this was just a trick, he doesn't care anymore. He just wants to be with her. But she is a hard-hearted prostitute. So the only way he could be with her is he has to bring her money. Okay. One day he comes, he knocks on the door. She says, "Who is it?" He says, "It's me, Vipra Narayan." She says, "What have you brought for me?" He says, "I brought you my passion." She says, "Well, what else have you brought?" He says, "I have nothing else. I've given you everything." She says, "Well, then be gone." So he has to leave. He's sitting on the streets of Srirangam, sad. At that time, by good fortune, Rangaji and Lakshmi are walking around the temple invisibly inspecting. So this is the beauty of Lakshmi. This is how beautiful she is, her attitude. She sees Vipra Narayan sitting there moping because he cannot have sex with this prostitute. What is her attitude? She says to Vishnu, she says, "My Lord, your devotee is in trouble. You must do something to help him." She was not condemning him. She saw he was in trouble. And she entreated Vishnu, or Ranganath, "Please, you must do something to help him." This is the love of the mother. This is how beautiful Lakshmi is. So Vishnu, Ranga says, "Let me think about it, what to do." Short time later, there's a knock on the brothel door. Devi Deva comes to the door. A dark stranger is there. She says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Vipra Narayan's servant, and this is for you." From Vipra Narayan. It's a gold plate. Says, "Oh, very nice. Go get Vipra Narayan." Gets Vipra Narayan. Vipra Narayan doesn't understand the change in her attitude. He enjoys with her that night. Next day there's a big hubbub in the temple. A golden plate was stolen from the deity room. Vipra Narayan had access because he would deliver garlands. So they did a search. They found the gold plate in Devi Deva's brothel. She said, "I have no access. This was given to me by Vipra Narayan's servant." They find Vipra Narayan. They blame him. He said, "But I have no servant. I'm a poor man. I have nothing." So they take him to the king. The king is going to judge. And the king is intuitive. So he thought, Vipra Narayan, he has fallen down with this prostitute. You've got to move a little bit. But I don't feel he would steal from the deity. He had great love for the deity as well. He said, "I want to think about this." So he went to sleep that night. He didn't want to make a judgment, quick judgment. And that night, the Lord appeared in his dreams. And he said, Viparinarayan is innocent. I took the gold plate. For you see, I become the servant of my servants. I paid for the prostitute. So please let Viparinarayan go and return to his service. The next morning, the king awoke. He called in Viparinarayan. He told Viparinarayan the story. Viparinarayan had a complete change in heart when he realized the Lord had come and personally paid for his prostitute. He realized the great love the Lord had for him. And he realized what a fool he had been. And he took a vow within his heart, for the rest of my life, I will serve the feet of the devotees. And his new name became Bhakta Renupada, one who is always serving the feet of the devotees. And he became one of the Alwars. Alwar is one who dives deep into the ocean of divine love. We know them, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas know them as King Kulashekar, as Jamunacharya, as Sri Vandal. He became one of the Alwars. And his poetry is quite beautiful. It's written in the Nilaya. Oh boy, if my Sanskrit is bad, my Tamil is worse. The Nila Yera Prabandham. Is that it? Close? Okay, yeah, so it is all there. The writings of all the Alwars, the poetic writings, so his are there too. Now, Devi Deva, the prostitute that caused all these problems when she heard what happened, she gave up being a prostitute and she sold her worldly goods and she became a renunciate around the temple. So this story is to illustrate the greatness of Lakshmi, the greatness of God, the great love they have for their devotees, and the fact that Krishna does not stay on the altar. He is walking around in each of our hearts, and sometimes invisibly he is doing inspection. Like one time in the first Mayapur festival, the building was not complete. A lot of devotees got diarrhea. And in the middle of the night, Prabhupada was walking around when the devotees were sleeping, seeing what was going on. One devotee came out of the bathroom. He had the squirts, we used to call it. And there he was, standing in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was inspecting. Then the next day he got angry with the managers and he said, you had given them garbage to sleep in. So Prabhupada was inspecting. Krishna is inspecting. Rasa Bihari is going around at night. He's all, and during the day, and he's inspecting also. So there is deeper and deeper levels of Krishna consciousness. So one level, we just see him behind the doors, or when the doors open. Another level, by the mercy of Krishna, we may be able to start seeing spirit everywhere. That's what Sukadev saw originally. Because he didn't want to come out of the womb. So Krishna had a promise, you won't be deluded by Maya. So when he came out, immediately he could see spirit everywhere. And he went off into the forest. His father called, come back, come back. His father, Vyasadeva, wanted to instruct him. He said, no, I'm not going to get entangled. I'm going off into the forest. So Vyasadeva was very clever. How do I get my son back so I can instruct him? So he told some hunters who captured birds with nets to sell in the city as pets. He told them, I'm going to give you a mantra. You'll catch a lot of birds with this mantra. So they set up their nets, they chanted the mantra. A lot of birds came in, and this naked 16-year-old boy comes out of the forest and looks. Then he goes back into the forest. The hunters go back to their guru, Vyasadeva. He said, yeah, they said, yeah, very successful. He caught many birds. He said, I will give you another mantra. The next day they set up the net. They chant the mantra. A naked 16-year-old boy comes out of the forest. This time he comes to the hunters. He says, "Where did you get that mantra?" He said, "Well, we got it from our guru." He said, "Can you take me to your guru?" What was the mantra? The mantra was a glorification of the beauty of Shri Krishna. So, Sukadeva was already realized to the level where he saw spirit everywhere. But what was the higher level of self-realization? The higher level of self-realization is the realization of the beauty of Krishna and my desire to want to be with Krishna, with the supreme nice, with the supreme beauty. So this is the way Vyasadeva lured Sukadeva back to give him the higher instruction. So this is the power of the beauty of God. So this is Chaitanya revealing that in order to develop this very high level of love, you must hear Harikatha and the association of good devotees. And that's it. We bring you right to Lord Chaitanya, right? So thank you for listening to me and tolerating me. I'm sorry I cannot be like Prabhupada, but Prabhupada has hidden himself in his books. And if you follow him, you are connected to him. You are his students. He is your primary guru because he was a pure devotee. We can have many gurus, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. And sometimes Diksha Guru is the primary guru, sometimes Shiksha Guru is. But no one could really argue that Prabhupada is not the primary guru. And he is your guru also. And he is present in his books. And he will take care of you. And your Diksha Guru, whatever you get from him that is truthful, you should always be eternally grateful. Even Chanaka said, if you get one shloka, one syllable, he said, from someone that leads you towards God, then you should always be grateful to them. So, but ultimately you must fly your own airplanes back to Godhead. You must be responsible for your own consciousness. What am I thinking? Am I thinking of Maya or am I thinking of Krishna? So as a child, when he learns to walk, he stumbles, he fumbles. He gets up. Eventually he learns to walk. So our mind tricks us all the time. Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna. We stumble, we fumble. And eventually, by Krishna's grace, we are able to think of Krishna all the time. But we have to keep trying. And we must not become discouraged. And if we keep trying, Krishna will give us little hits. Like I had my little hit from Pandrapur. Chant, be happy, and try to love everyone as I do. These will come to you by Krishna's grace. But you try to be nice devotees. Try to make yourself so beautiful that Krishna will not be able to resist and he will forcibly give his grace to you. And you have to be patient because, again, he wants to be sure that you can fit in Goloka, you can fit in Vaikuntha and not cause trouble. So you will be tested by Maya every day. And when he is convinced, that grace will come down upon you. And if you are too discouraged, sometimes that grace will come in small dose to give you encouragement. So that's the best advice I can tell you after 42 years of being with Krishna, at least in this life. So I wish you all well. My generation did many good things, so we expect your generation to do better. All right? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jayate Prabhupada.